We're turning back to Ephesians this morning for the last time, at least through this series of messages. And I feel, you know, I'm feeling like kind of sad in a way, as it feels like we're leaving a friend. And there's so much more that we could look at here. Some of you I know have been reading it through regularly. And so we're going to read verses 18 and following. For one last time, as we look at these verses 18 to 24, and then as has been mentioned, then next week we have our Thai Fest, and then we'll move on from that and eventually get into a journey to the cross, which is our series moving toward Easter, and so I encourage you to be thinking and praying about that. But would you please stand? And let's read these words together. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love from faith from the God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Signed, the Apostle Paul. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we acknowledge your presence with us this morning. Thank you that we can come to you, even times when there's a lot of sickness around, that you are with us. Thanks that you're with us in the times when we're doing well, the times when we're struggling, and the times in between. And Lord, thank you for this gift that you've given to us of your word from centuries ago that continues to live through your Spirit. So Lord, we thank you for this journey we've taken through the book of Ephesians over these last months. And we ask that you would speak to us now once again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So why should we care for people that we don't even know? Don't we have enough problems of our own? I mean, good night. You look at your own home, and it's like, well, I got enough problems. Why should I care about people across the street? Why should I care about people in the community? Why should we at Valley View care about people in other churches? We've heard this week about the struggles in the Methodist Church. Why should we care about what's happening in the Methodist Church? Why should we care about people on the other side of town, other side of the world? Don't we have enough problems of our own? Well, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians, talks about how Christ has made us a different kind of people. He has enlarged our concern for more than just who we are and what we can see immediately in front of us. I'd like you to take your Bible, if you have it there, and just walk through some of the pages. Let's skip through the book of Ephesians and see some of the places where we have been and what we want to remember this morning. And so if you look at the first few chapters, which we looked at last fall, we see where the Apostle Paul talked about who we are in Christ. And he began by talking about the Lord Jesus and how he has made us resurrection people. And in verse 10 of chapter 1, he talks about how the aim of history is to put things into effect when everything is brought under the supremacy of Christ. So the universe is moving to this place where everything's going to be centered around Jesus. And because of that, at the end of chapter 1, he talks about that through Christ, who came to this planet, gave his life for us, that we are given all the blessings of heaven in Christ, and that he works in us by his grace and through his Spirit. And then he indwells us, we see, in chapter 2. He comes to us by grace through faith alone. And then he makes us one in Christ. And at the end of chapter 2, we see how he joins us into a holy temple where Christ is living among us and shining his light through us, through people from every tribe, every nation, every background, every language. He is shining through his body, living his life in and through us as his people. And so then we move into chapters 4 through 6. And it's there that he says, now because Christ is within you, now this is how you should live. And he talks about his presence among us means that we then live as people who have been loved by him, by grace, through faith alone. And we live out that love. We live like we have then been loved. We love others like we have been loved. It's been said that we then live lives of worship. He talks about singing to one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And then lives of love. And so we put others' lives, others' needs before our own. And of course, that's very different than the world that we're in. The world doesn't exist like that. The world is all about itself. And everybody living for themselves. And so in the verses that we looked at last week, Paul says, okay, this means war. Because we are members of God's kingdom and we are giving a preview of what is to come. And so he talks about the weapons of our battle, of peace on our feet and righteousness on our chests and salvation on our heads and the sword of the word of God. And we fight this battle. We stand firm representing Christ in this world, shining his light wherever we are. And what this means is that we have a different approach to life. Because Christ is within us, we love others as we have been loved. And this means that we care much more than just this little world that we're in. We care about, really, Jesus loved the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. All are precious in his sight. We care about those who are far beyond us. And that means that we have a different approach to prayer. We're not just caring for our little needs that we have. We got needs. We got plenty of needs we talked about this morning. But we care about the world around us. And so he says that the way that we pray is in the Spirit. He talked about being filled with the Spirit in chapter 5. And being filled with the Spirit means that we pray in communion with the Spirit and in relationship to our Father in heaven. A few weeks ago, I went on a prayer retreat with a bunch of pastors from our family of churches. And I called ahead of time. Because I've been on prayer retreats before, and I said, is there going to be time to spend time, not just doing requests, but to spend time connecting with God? And they said, yeah, there is. They said, there's going to be time where you can spend alone with the Lord, you spend time with others that are there, with others in twos or threes or in small groups. There's going to be time spending, of course, as a larger group, who spend time praising the Lord with song, and there'll be others that can pray with you. And I said, okay, I'm going. That's what I want. I sensed the invitation to spend time with Jesus. You see, in our circles, we tend to approach prayer with a list. And we say, and like it's something that we have to do, and we check it off. I prayed for this, I prayed for this, I prayed for this, I prayed for this, and prayer lists are good, and I use a prayer list every day. But praying in the Spirit means we begin by connecting with God. Like in John chapter 15, he is the vine and we are the branches. We are connecting with him. And it's out of that 24-hour prayer flows. You see, otherwise we come at Paul's commands here and we're saying, oh, okay, oh man, I only prayed an hour today. I only prayed 2 hours today. Oh, I only prayed for the people in my church. I need to pray for the people in the next church. And it's exhausting to think about. And Paul says, no, he says, pray in the Spirit. Connect with Christ. I saw, I think there's a movement that's going on where there's a renewal going on about praying in the Spirit. I looked at a website, the Youth Specialties, the youth organization website. They had the early morning prayer at their conference, but it talked about an invitation to spend with Jesus. And I thought, man, that would get me out early in the morning. Not guilt, not having to do this, having to do that like it's a chore, but come and spend time with Jesus, because it's out of we spend time with Jesus, it's then that our hearts are expanded and that we have a heart for the world like Jesus has a heart for the world. You see, what it means is that then it affects who we pray for and how we pray. So Paul was in Rome, as you know. He was a prisoner in Rome, chained to a prison guard. The Ephesian people were in the city of Ephesus, modern-day Turkey, which is about 850 miles as the crow flies, then and now. Okay, about 1,250 miles by modern roads. So that's a couple of days, at least 2-3 days driving today. So in that day, they were 2 weeks plus of travel by land and by sea, not by air, unless they knew some crow that was flying there. But by getting back and forth, I mean, that's how far Paul was from Ephesus. And he's chained to a guard. I mean, he's got plenty of concerns right there. But he's praying for them. And he's saying, now you pray for me. They can't do FaceTime. They can't do a telephone even the old-fashioned. But he can't do any of that stuff. But he's saying, the Lord is at work in you. The Lord is at work in me. And so I'm praying for you. Won't you pray for me? Their concern was much greater than the immediate world that they could see right there. And so the Lord calls for us to pray for one another across town. But as Christ is at work in us, we have a heart that's bigger than just one another. We have a heart that's big enough for all the people on those maps, that those ancient maps that Deneen showed to us a few minutes ago. Some of you remember those. The Lord is concerned not just for our church, but for the churches across town. He's concerned for the other denominations, other families of faith that are around this area and around the world. He's concerned about needs that are far beyond what we can even conceive. But as Christ is at work in us, and as we connect with Him 24/7, then He gives us a concern for them, and so that we are praying to Him all of the time for all of these needs that we see more and more as we connect with Him. And what do we pray for? It's been said that the two things that Paul's talking about here are clarity and boldness. And so those who are clear are not always bold. Those who are bold are not always clear. Now the Apostle Paul, I think he was very bold. Good night. He was very clear, I thought. But that's what he's praying for. And you think about it, he's in Rome. He's in a prison cell somewhere, hoping to get to Caesar. But he's carrying on. He has no hope of going home. Probably on the way to his death. But he says, pray that I'll be clear. Pray that I'll be bold. Pray that if I get to Caesar, that I'll know exactly what to say, and that he'll understand me, and that I'll be bold even to speak to the emperor, but also to these guys and maybe servants that I'm chained to and that are serving me every day under house arrest. And so we pray for one another. It's got in the callings that God has called us to, and maybe He's called us to a school, but maybe He's called someone else to a factory, or someone else to a cruiser, or somebody else to the other side of the world. Especially those whom God has called overseas, like our friends that are coming next weekend, that God has called to Thailand, a place where there are very few believers, just a very small percentage of less than 1% believers in Christ. In the nation of Thailand. So let's pray for boldness. Let's pray for clarity, that God would use that to bring renewal, to bring his word to Thailand so that many would come to him, but then also all around the world for our friends in the Dominican Republic, our friends in Europe and in South America and in Afghanistan and all over the world, as well as just across town, that God would give boldness, that God would give clarity. And as we connect with the Spirit of God and we commune with him, then we're going to be praying more and more of our 24-hour days in connection with him, because his heart for the world will become the heart that we have for them as well. But our concerns for them are not, they include prayer, which is nothing more than communication with God. But our concerns have hands and feet on them. You look at the next few verses here, verses 21 and 22. When we lived in Maine, there was an older couple in the church. They lived there for many, many years. Their name were Mark and Lucille, now home with the Lord. And they talked about this missionary couple that they knew. And they talked about them pretty often. And I thought, well, what is it about this couple? And then I finally found out what it was. So when they were young, living in this little lake region area of Maine, a young missionary couple had come to their church. And they had connected with this couple. And then for decades, they had reconnected. They had become friends with this couple. This couple had gone, I think it was to South America, and they had kept in connection and they cared for one another, and they had a relationship for all of those years, and it had been of great encouragement to that couple. And that couple, I know to them, and I thought, oh, that's why. So, I mean, this was not a big church. They didn't have great resources. They were just ordinary people. But what an encouragement they were to that couple as when they served the Lord overseas. And I know that they were encouragement back to them as they did their ordinary work in that little town in Maine. You see, it flows out of relationship that we have. We have a relationship with our Father through His Spirit, our Father in heaven. But then that leads us to a relationship with one another. And as his concerns are our concerns, then we have a concern for those especially who are spreading the good news. I have a dream. Wouldn't it be sweet if when couples like the Danikers show up, or couples like the Romanos show up from the Dominican Republic, or the McCombs, who are also from Thailand, who happen to be from this church of all places. Wouldn't it be sweet if everybody in this room recognized them by face? There's some of you that do know them by face. I know it. The Danikers are back here several times. McCombs grew up in this church. Michael did. But wouldn't it be sweet if each one of us had a relationship, at least one relationship, with one international worker that we meet somewhere in the course of time here, or maybe across the area. And so Lisa Hildebrand, you know, works over Human Life Services. She and her friend, one of her colleagues, shared a few weeks ago. And I know there's some that serve over there and have a special relationship with them. If each of us was to pick out one servant of the Lord and develop a relationship with them like that couple did years ago, how it would move the kingdom of ahead, and what an encouragement it would be to them and them to us. And wouldn't it be sweet if those relationships would grow and we just became a place, a thriving place, where we see the Lord at work in this area and around the world. It's been said that in terms of our involvement with the mission, with God's mission worldwide, you know, we often think of maybe four areas of involvement. So one area is prayer. We talked about that a minute ago. Would it be sweet if each of us, maybe every day, we have at least one person that we're praying for that is serving the Lord overseas or maybe in this area, someone that we have sent out or others have sent out in the Lord's name, and that we know their needs so that 24/7 that we're thinking about, that we're praying for them, and we're among those that wake up in the middle of the night and say, you know, God told me to pray for you. And so we can be involved in prayer. But then we can be involved in giving. And our church gives about 10% of its dollar every year. Even in our struggles in recent months, we give about 10% of every dollar overseas, especially through Alliance Giving, our Alliance family of international workers and of missions. And a proportion of that goes to our partnership with the Dominican Republic. And I know some of you give money also to the McCombs, who are serving with Remember New in Thailand and to other places. But it's wonderful. But wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord was even to raise that even more, maybe 11%, maybe 12%, so that we're giving more and more and more away. We all have opportunity to give. And then we can mobilize others to go. And we can go. And we have a number of you. How many of you have been on a short-term mission trip? Quite a few of you. How many of you have been to the Dominican Republic, to our partnership there? Quite a few of you. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity of our day and age to actually go and be part of things and to enlarge our vision. Like, encourage us to, you know, I know that Kent Zellers, are you going? Okay, he's going to the Dominican Republic this summer. Probably hear more about that next week as Scott Himes shares with us. We want to be praying for him. It'd be wonderful if we had more that were to go there, maybe some to Thailand, maybe to some other places. Great, great opportunity to enlarge our hearts for the world, to see what God is doing. But I want to push us a little farther. I think we could have folks that would go for an extended period of time. People that might be able to do a job swap. You know, I had a friend, I have a relative who was a professor at a college, and he would swap, and he went to the Middle East 3 different times over the courses of his career. And there's people that can go to areas of the world in your profession that a missionary can't go to. And you could go for a month or a year or 6 months or something in between. And then the other thing, maybe for an extended time, maybe early retirement, and you could go for a year or two, and God could use you there, and you'd be our missionaries there, and you'd come back and share with us what God is. You'd never be the same, and neither would we. And then there's others that can go long term. Maybe some of the kids. We've had kids sitting in this row that have just dreamed of. They hear about what's happening in the Dominican Republic, and they say, I'd love to go. There's a church in Upper Wisconsin, and they were involved with the former Soviet Union in a medical mission there. And they have doctors and nurses that have moved there now for career. And wouldn't it be sweet if the Lord was to send people from our church to serve long-term in the Dominican Republic or in one of the 80 countries around the world where our mission is involved or in others, or maybe some serving in areas where no worker can go, but they can go with their profession. So we can pray, we can give, we can go, we can mobilize. But all of this comes out of the Lord living within us and among us, and then from there, then calling us than to care for others in his family and those beyond. Because this is all based in the one whom we share. So look at the last couple of verses here. And it's like a benediction kind of a thing that the Apostle Paul gives to us. Peace, love, and grace, he says, from God our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Almost sounds like flower children, peace, love, and joy, or groovy, or whatever. But look where he's saying that it is from. This is from our Father. It's from our Lord, whom we love. And there's a baby that's born into a family. Everybody's all over that baby. Talked about those who hoping, you know, hoping someday, you know, a few minutes ago, you want to get one of these. They talked about, you know, it happens. And entire families oogle and awe over those little ones. Even neighbors say, oh, look, a baby was born next door. And we do that. We love it. We FaceTime pictures, you name it. When there's a baby born into a family, an extended family, a neighborhood, everybody's all over it. About 2,000 years ago, there was a baby who was born. And the world has never gotten over him. He grew up. He lived a perfect life. He gave his life for us. And then he was raised from the dead. And he lives at the Father's right hand. And we just can't get enough of adoring him. People from every tribe, every ethnicity, every language group are moving to the place where they adore him. And we love being part of that and calling others to do the same. We love it that on Saturday nights, we got brothers and sisters who happen to speak Arabic that join us in praising him at our Saturday night service of the Arabic Christian Church. We love it that we have brothers and sisters across the city in our family of churches that gather to praise him. We love it that we have brothers and sisters in the Dominican Republic and in Thailand that we'll be hearing about next week, the next couple of weeks, that gather to praise him and to honor him and to live for him. And we don't, you know, we don't think it's enough. We want others to praise him too. So in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about there being one body and one spirit and one hope to which we're called, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all. He is worthy of that kind of love. He is worthy of that kind of praise. Everything is moving across the universe to give him honor, to give him praise forever and ever and ever. That is why we're here. You see, Christ at work in us and among us gives us relationship with one another. But then it extends our relationship then with one another to relationship with the world as we call the nations to give him praise. When a baby's born, the baby knows its mama to begin with, and then it's dada, and then the world of its crib, and then its nursery, and then they might get out into the living room, and then the mom and or dad, they might get them out into the backyard, and that's, you know, and they start toddling around, and that's pretty much their world. And then they get out, they get them, put them in a stroller, and they wheel them around, and they meet Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so, and they're the oogles and ahs of the neighborhood. And then they get on that big school bus, and they're swallowed up, and they're taken away forever. But while they're there, when they're there, they find out about a bigger world. They find out, oh, there's 50 states. There's 50 other states, like Pennsylvania, where there are other children and moms and dads. And, oh, there's not just 50 states, but there's hundreds of countries around the world. And what was their little backyard has become a great big world that they can go out and be part of. We need to get out of our little backyard. Our little backyard in our little neighborhood, in our church called Valley View. Oh yeah, we got plenty of needs and plenty of things to keep busy about. But Jesus is living within us. Jesus is among us. And as we connect with Christ, we have a concern for the world. And so let's get out of our backyard and let's get into the world that God has called us to serve and to love in his name and to call the nations to worship him. We're not just having a Thai fest next weekend to have some fun with Thailand. Come on out, have some tea. Come out, have a meal. Come on out Sunday morning and come early. Come at 9 o'clock and be part of a class and be part of what God is doing in the world. If you're a student, stay late. Come back next Sunday night. Hopefully, no snow and hear what God is doing in Thailand. God has called us to be something much bigger than our own backyard. We are part of bringing the nations to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. And no number of tongues, no number of voices, no amount of praise will be enough for him because he's worthy of it all. Won't you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we honor you this morning. Lord, we look up to you like we look at the stars at night. But Lord, they don't even hold a candle to your glory. Lord, you are magnificent. And yet you loved us enough to send us your Son. We're so grateful for that. And you didn't leave us alone. You made us part of a larger family. And Lord, it's amazing to think about who that family includes. People in this room. People across town. People around the world whom we have never even met. And many more sheep whom you're calling to the fold. Lord, may we have the joy of being part of that. Of proclaiming you and your love to the nations. We pray in the name of Jesus, the one who came from heaven to earth.